Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. So today, Bruce Kay and I are going to talk a little bit about the connection of food and culture. Bruce is both Navajo and Hopi, so he grew up around one of my favorite foods, which is fry bread, and also with a lot of other foods that he ate growing up. But let's talk about fry bread a little bit. Fry bread is one of those things that, you know, really came about as kind of some of those commodity foods that Indian people were exposed to and has become this thing that, you know, everywhere you go in Indian country, you come across fry bread. In your family, who made the best fry bread?
Mom, of course.
Mom always makes the best of everything, doesn't she?
Yes.
And what are your memories of having fry bread growing up?
Oh, just the smell of it, you know, the taste of it. You know, I was looking forward to it. There was never lack of, because Mom always made sure that we had enough. Along with fry bread, however, we also had tortillas. And the one thing that I remember most about fry bread is the way that Mom made it. She'd knead the dough, and then she'd take off a little piece of the dough and then start slapping it together, you know, and then pulling it apart, you know, and then keep on doing that until it was just the right texture, because she wouldn't want it to be too thick or too doughy. And then she would put it into the big vat of oil there. And then to hear it, you know, to just bubbling
sizzling
up.
And
ooh, yeah, I could smell that bread and taste it in my mouth.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then all the things that would be associated with it. In Navajo country, it's called Navajo tacos. Outside of Navajo country, you know, they call it Indian tacos. So anyways, I didn't grow up eating traditionally Navajo tacos. Fry bread and tortillas was a staple, and you used it with mutton stew, because in Navajo, that's what it is, mutton stew. Or you could also get mutton ribs and take all the meat off of the ribs and then, you know, make a sandwich out of it. So there's a lot of different things that we made from that. Something that I hesitate to talk about is spam. You could also spam would be put into the, I mean, so there was a lot of different additives that one could put into that and make it specifically your own.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, there was also the potted food products,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of that stuff. Yeah. So, you know, when I went to boarding school, primarily all the foods that they offered came directly from the government. So they would give us a lot of the commodity foods that they would have.
Let's talk about pecan bread. I want to talk about that. That is so interesting. I saw mm-hmm. pictures of that on the internet. It's basically a large stone
mm-hmm.
that...
flat.
That was flat,
mm-hmm.
and there was like the blue corn was mm-hmm. made into like a real thin mm-hmm. batter that
yes.
was poured or spread over top.
Yeah, I watched my grandmother make it. She would grind the corn and watch her grind the corn. Then she would get this little, I'll call it wash basin, and she would pour water into it and put the cornmeal in there and the juniper ash. That was always an important part of that. And once she got that together, the particular consistency, then she would heat up the rock and then go into that wash basin and then spread that cornmeal all over the stone. As soon as it started drying, then she started rolling it up like you would roll a newspaper. And so back in the day, before, again, European intervention, the staples were very much nutritious and very valuable to our bodies. But once Europeans came over here, they started introducing to us sugar and dyes. Okay, so then you started to see yellow, blue, green, and other colors that would be mixed in with the pecan, as well as sugar. So, of course, children then gravitated towards that. Foods was a very powerful way that made connections, you know. Certain foods, they would always remember, this is what grandma or mom used to make, and I have fond memories of that. And as you're asking me these questions, I think about that. You know, waking up early in the morning, watching my mother go through her prayer process before she started doing everything. Because it was very deliberate in what she knew that she had to do to provide for her family. She raised 9 of us.
Wow.
One girl and 8 boys. And so, yeah, very humble beginnings.
Huh.
You know, it taught us a lot of humility.
Yeah.
We didn't have running water. We didn't have electricity. We raised sheep. We raised horses. So those are just some very important things for me to recognize and understand how important it was to have gratitude for everything that we got.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing taken for granted. there's so many different kinds of foods that were out there. Huzusuki, nukwivi, there's blue corn, like a pudding, okay? And there's little corn balls in it. That was very, very delicious, very delicious. So that was something that, I remember watching my grandmother make. And it was a treat because much of this was served in traditional ceremonies. We weren't raised on the mesas where most of the Hopi children were raised. We were raised in a canyon. I would say it was about 20 miles southeast of the first mesa. That's where my father came from. That's where his mother came from. There are three different distinct villages on first mesa. So whenever the feast days would occur, it was, like, again, just wonderful to know that you would be going and tasting all of these different kinds of food. Kneel-down bread is a little bit more thicker in consistency. It's baked in earthen ovens, and almost every Hopi matriarch always made sure that she had that earthen oven. A lot of good foods would come in and out of those ovens. Sumiviki is another. It's like kneel-down bread, but the difference between kneel-down bread and sumiviki is sumiviki, later on, again, sugar was added to that because then that became a very much favorite for young kids growing up here in Hopi country. And it was wrapped up in a corn husk. One thing that they did was they would dig a deep hole. I remember this. And I would say the hole, I would imagine it was about between 5 and 6 feet deep.
Wow.
It was a real big deep hole. And they would throw corn in there. And that's
like whole ears of corn?
Yeah, whole ears of corn would be thrown in there, and it would roast all night.
Oh.
It started in the evening, and all night it would roast. So, and I'm trying to visualize how they would do that if they threw a bunch of coals down at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And I think they also had a fire on top so that it was, you know, heated. It, in between would be the corn, and that corn would come out very sweet. I mean, it was so good that many kids would eat even the central part of the corn.
Uh-huh.
As the corn, the kernels were eaten off of that. The cob itself would sit there and suck on that for days.
Uh-huh.
It just tastes so good.
Oh, man.
It's wonderful
so good.
Stuff. Parched corn was our version of popcorn.
Oh, see, and was it like almost like a corn nut? It's like
crunchy? Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. You've heard the phrase melt in your mouth. Pretty much that's the way it was. But most of us had crunched on them.
Uh-huh.
Another thing that I have to mention is the water. The water that came to us where we lived came from the rocks. And the water, I've heard some people say that it's very sweet.
Huh.
But it's so different because when I came to the boarding school and any place else, you know, the water was because of whatever they put into
chemicals
the water.
Chemicals.
Yeah, the chemicals and whatnot. But going back home, it's just very distinct, very nourishing. So all Hopis would erect a shrine at their watering hole, and they would have a conversation. They had a very powerful connection to the water because they acknowledged the four medicines on this earth, water being a significant one, fire being another one, earth being another one. And the last one is air. So we always take consideration of our connection to each of those medicines because that's what nourishes us. That's what continues us to become living entities.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a powerful respect for all of that in the connections that we have because the first philosophy that we have is a concept of wholeness. And if we don't recognize our connection to everything, then we're bound to break those connections, which causes our demise, which many people are not taking into consideration today. And if we could continue to share that philosophy with everyone, we could bring balance back. We could restore harmony back. But it's going to take a long time because consider how long it took us to get to where we're at.
Takes a lot longer to get things back than it does to cause problems.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so when we're talking about the foods, that's a very important thing to take into consideration because we make prayers for that. We thank every food item that's set before us. I mean, even when I'm going out to the restaurants, I also make sure that I offer prayer for the foods that we're going to be eating.
Yeah, I think having that respect for the food. I mean, I think about how things get in a really fast world where animals are being slaughtered, you know, one after another, and people have lost their sense of humanity in doing that and lost their respect for the animal and the food, and as it becomes so mechanized and not even any thought behind it.
Absolutely. Probably the most significant thing to take into consideration is the spirit of it all. Everything has a spirit. There isn't nothing that's devoid of spirit. Your spirit is the one that helps you to develop that conscience. And every culture has a set principles of doing things right. So as we speak to every living entity before it ends up on our table, that's a very powerful connection that one makes.
Yeah. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Bruce Kay, and we've been talking about the connection between food and culture. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This program was supported in part by the Northwest California Tribal Communities Extension Program, a USDA-funded project through the University of California Cooperative Extension of Humboldt and Del Norte counties.